Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Dakota Morgan. Welcome to another episode of Comic Chronicle. I have with me here someone very special. I'm giving a Skype call right now. Somebody that you guys may or may not know. And it's ringing right now on Skype. Give me one moment, too. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, there we go. How's it going, man?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Fine, yourself?
Oh, doing good. Welcome to the podcast, Comic Chronicle. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself to the crowd?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Quinn Allen, but my alter ego is Kid Apocalypse, the rapping mutant from the 616, straight out of the pages of Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force, Wolverine and the X-Men, and now all new, all different X-Men.
That's right, ladies and gents. I usually say, like, my little intro is, like, society's mutant and everything like that, of really the society's mutant, and now I actually have a legit mutant here, so that's always
right.
A plus.
Awesome.
So, man, I got a couple questions for you today. Kind of Kid Apocalypse, we'll dive right into it. What made you kind of get into all this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm a man who's worn a lot of different hats throughout the years.
Ooh, I like that.
Music has been a part of my life for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing in a lot of bands throughout high school and afterwards. And I was a solo musician for a long time. When I first moved up to Portland, I was doing a lot of sort of folky singer-songwriter type stuff. And I've always had this love of all things nerdy. I'm a big Trekkie, big Star Wars fan, big comic book reader, but obviously just Marvel. No, I'm just kidding. I read some DC, too.
Oh, okay. A lot of people are going to hate you for that. They're like, damn him!
Yeah, that's right. No, I like Green Lantern. I like Batman. Anything Grant Morrison does, I'm a fan of.
Ooh.
I've always had this sort of geeky element to my life, and somewhere along the ways, I've had some small success as an actor as well here in Portland, and I was doing a film, and I was acting in a film, and when we had some downtime on the set, a buddy of mine who was working on the project, he came over and was like, hey, I know you really like video games and comics and all that. Do you ever, like, listen to nerdcore hip-hop? And I said, I don't know what those words you just said are. and he explained what nerdcore was to me, and he showed me some examples. Like, I think I remember him showing me Mega Rands, or also known as Random.
Mm-hmm.
He had an album called Black Materia that was all about Final Fantasy VII, which is the greatest game that's ever been made.
Agreed.
And I'm a huge fan. So I kind of got that idea from him of, like, oh, you can, like, rap as if you're a character. And, you know, I realized that that's, like, kind of been around before. I mean, even in, like, hip-hop, like, you know, you think about, like, concept albums like Deltron 3030 from Del the Funky Homo Sapien, you know, and I think that kind of idea had already existed of, like, you portraying a different character while doing your art. And so I happened to be reading Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force, The Dark Angel Saga, around that time. And that's where Kid Apocalypse, you know, it's his origin story. So
yeah.
I kind of got to know that character, and I was like, I like this character. I like that idea. But I've got to say, I've always been fascinated by the villain Apocalypse. So this wasn't just out of nowhere. Like,
Apocalypse
always been, like, my favorite comic book villain. And I would always pick up any comic book that had Apocalypse on the cover, or I knew he was in the story. So.
Ooh. I mean, Apocalypse is one of those, like, with the recent movie, people are like, oh, we know who Apocalypse is. But, like, he's one of those, you gotta be an X-Men fan to recognize who he is, and you gotta, like, really kind of know your stuff. He's a great one to choose. I mean, like, Mr. Sinister, yeah, he's pretty good, he's cool, but Apocalypse himself, but then Kid Apocalypse, like, people look at you, like, say, who?
Right.
Do you still get that maybe sometimes, and you say, like, oh, I portray Kid Apocalypse? Are people, like, kind of, like, trying to think of, like, who the hell it is, or something
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when I first three times I went to Comic-Con, you know, in character as, with the makeup and the whole thing, you know, people would be like, hey, cool, Joker? And I'm like, no, not Joker. Like, so, I mean, even at comic book conventions, I feel like most comic book readers still don't even know who Kid Apocalypse is.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been around for a couple of years now in the comics, but, I mean, unless you're an avid reader, you know, and you're picking up every X-Men title like I am, you know, you're probably not going to be super familiar with him. A lot of people know who Apocalypse is, like, if you grew up like I did, you know, watching the X-Men animated series in the 90s. X-Men, you know, he was obviously, Apocalypse was featured heavily as a villain.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout those stories, so some people have familiarity with him. I think he was the last boss in X-Men versus Street Fighter, which was, I'm surprised to find out that there was another game that wasn't Marvel versus Capcom. Before there was Marvel versus Capcom, there was X-Men versus Street Fighter, specifically, and I think he was the villain in that game, too.
That just blew my mind. I had no idea that that existed.
It was either that or Onslaught. I know Onslaught is a villain in one of the games, too, because it was the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, still the 90s. Pretty good time in X-Men, to say the least. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah, there was some good stuff that came out of there. I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today if it weren't for the 90s.
Yeah, well, you just had a recent song release, too. I think in February it was, kind of tying into the 90s. Am I wrong?
No, absolutely correct. Yeah, my track on the latest album, Regenesis, that's called In the 1990s. So, yeah, I mean, I was born in the 80s, but, you know, I was a little kid. I don't really remember the 80s very well. The 90s was certainly my heyday. Growing up, you know, watching Saturday morning cartoons on Fox, which included X-Men the Animated Series and the Spider-Man Animated Series, you know, Batman the Animated Series, obviously a legendary cartoon that I grew up with, and, you know, and then Star Trek The Next Generation and all this stuff. So it was sort of like a great time for, you know, developing geek to be involved in stuff.
I'm jealous. I grew up with Wolverine and the X-Men. That was my kind of my big X-Men introduction show. And I know, like, some people are like, if you grew up in the 90s like yourself, you're like, well, this show is better. I'm like, I know, but it's my baby. I mean, come on.
I guess there's some people out there that their baby has to be, what was it, X-Men Evolutions? Is that what the...
Oh, yeah.
X-Men Evolution, that was, like, the one where they're all in high school?
Yeah, that's the one. A lot of people like that one. And I watched a couple of reruns of it back when I was a kid. I watched it not too long ago, too. It's pretty good. I like it. I mean, some people dog it. Some people don't. It's kind of like one of those wide accepted things.
And but, I think people who are fans of the new movie Logan will be interested to find out that the origin of Laura Kinney as X-23 wasn't in the comic books. She actually came from that X-Men Evolution cartoon.
Yeah.
That was the origin of Laura Kinney.
A little bit of facts for everybody. I mean, yeah, little known things. And they're
dropping some comic knowledge over here.
Yeah, like, we never say any comic knowledge on the show. Kidding.
Oh,
but.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone thinks Harley Quinn's the one where it's, well, she was first done and animated, then they brought in all this stuff. No, Harley Quinn's not the only one.
Totally, yeah. It's kind of a popular thing, I guess, to try out a character in a cartoon, and then, hey, let's pull it into the comic book.
Yeah. Speaking of which, man, how long do you think it's going to be before we see Kid Apocalypse? And do you think you'll have a little bit, do you think somewhere down the line you'll have a cameo with them or something? Maybe pull some strings somewhere.
Do you mean, like, how long until we see him in, like, the movies or something?
Yeah, movies, or, I mean, they got X-Men TV show coming up here. I mean, Blink's going to be in it. Polaris is going to be in it.
It's crazy that they, like, made a TV show out of Legion to me. And don't get me wrong, I love that show.
Oh, God, yes.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
I'm really into it. But that is a weird character to choose to do a TV show about. And I don't know how that came about, that somebody was like, oh, here's what I want to do. I want to tell the story of Legion. But... so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Kid Apocalypse has made that much of an impact in the comic book world
to
really make it into anything other than the comic books. In fact, it does seem like with this new reboot that we're getting with the new X-Men Gold and Blue and all the various titles, I was talking to Dennis Hopeless, who was the last person to really work with Kid Apocalypse on All New X-Men, and, you know, I was saying how, you know, I would hope that they would continue to do stuff with that character, but from everything I saw from their new relaunch, it doesn't really look like he's going to be featured in the comics anymore.
Damn.
So, I don't know. I didn't get an official confirmation, but it's not sounding good for old Kid Apocalypse.
That means you have to carry on the legacy. Carry on the legacy of Kid Apocalypse and keep him alive. Don't let fans forget about him. Don't let him be one of the forgotten.
Oh, yeah. You know, as much as I'd like to do that, there's been this you know, thing this whole time that I've been doing it that, like, you know, I've always been a little wary of the fact that, like, this is a character that is owned by Marvel. Marvel is owned by Disney. And, you know, so I'm trying my best not to step on anyone's toes and just do this out of love and, you know, give away my stuff for free. But so we, me and Jared, who's worked a lot on this project with me, we've had some conversations recently, and we're talking about whether or not it's a good idea to continue to do this under the character's name, or if we kind of move to something different. So I'm still weighing my options, but I think I've got some plans in the works here on how I can sort of maybe do both, sort of move away from that character, but still kind of always, because the weird thing is that, like, I mean, I know I didn't create this character, but I've created a sort of version of this character, and in a weird way, I've kind of grown to like being that character, and like I feel a little bit of ownership over my version of the rapping version of, you know, because I've sort of developed a sort of story of like what's happened to this character along the way as he's been doing hip hop, and you know, especially when he was being around like Dark Beast and Deadpool and like that sort of, you know, so I had this whole idea of like where I was going to take my version of the character, but. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, yeah, it very well could be one day that people forget he was ever a comic book character and they only know him as this rapping mutant. But
that would be... then you get steals. I mean, I'll see your album somewhere, poster.
Yeah, hopefully.
Something sooner. Oh, yeah. I'd bet money on it. I would bet money. Great things take time. I mean, that's the thing. True. Like, no one rises above in like a week and they're like, here's a movie deal.
That's true. But I was actually... I'm in Portland, Oregon, which is kind of a new mecca for comic books. We've got Dark Horse Comics is here. Image just opened a new office here. Oni Press. We've got a number of really good and a bunch of comic writers and artists live here too. Brian Michael Bendis is here.
Yeah, Biggie.
Matt Branson, Kelly Sue DeConnick. They're all here, you know. So, and I actually just at the restaurant I work at was just about an hour ago talking with this guy Victor who moved here to work for Image Comics. And now he and I are talking about, like, oh, what if we collaborated on something? So it's funny how these things work out.
Wow. It seems like the comic revolution isn't happening in L.A., not New York, but it seems like Oregon and Portland's going to be the comic revolution standing point right now.
I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah, if somebody who does comics isn't in New York, it's probably Portland now. I think we've almost usurped L.A.
In
comic creator mecca.
Uh-huh. See, I'm jealous. I'm just here in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, what do I got? I got maybe a couple people. Like, maybe there's some people in L.A., I guess, but...
Yeah, damn. Not that far from California. And you guys have a pretty big con out there, don't you? Isn't Phoenix Comic Con, like, a pretty big one?
Yeah, the third biggest, I think, or fourth biggest.
I'm going to challenge you on that. I'm gonna try to think that it's the fourth biggest, because I think Seattle, the Emerald City Con, where I was at 2 weekends ago, I think that's the third biggest. At least it was. So maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe that you guys have taken it. I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
No, I heard recently we got pushed down, sadly. I will admit it. I'll admit a man got pushed down. I mean, you're not going to hear that often these days, but...
So I think it goes, San Diego, New York, maybe Seattle, and then you guys. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get a fair share of people. I'm not going to lie. We've had a fair share of actors here, actresses, a lot of big comic book people here. I think Jim Shooter, I believe his name is, he's going to be coming here. Big guy from X-Men. Speaking of which, I got a question for you, man. You have featured a few X-Men characters in your videos. You didn't name drop them. I mean, you had Toad, you had Emma Frost. Who else would you like to put in? Obviously, Beast and yourself, too, but who else would you like to kind of put in there, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was another one that I don't know if people caught, really, was when on the one for Leaving Las Vegas. We didn't really give her a lot of screen time, but the girl in the back is in a Kitty Pryde costume, a classic yellow and black Kitty Pryde costume, and I think she even brought some little purple dragon toys that, I don't know, you know, throughout the day in the shoot, we just didn't get the footage of her that we wanted.
Oh, damn.
You know, I guess here's the one that I would say. Every time I'm at a con and we see a girl in a really good Psylocke costume, I'm always like, why don't I have a Psylocke in any of my videos? And every time I've looked for one that's in Portland, they're not, you know, I haven't found somebody who does a really good Psylocke here in Portland. Every time I see one at a con, they're like, oh, I'm from California or some other, you know, state, and they just traveled there. And I'm like, well, I gotta get you in one of my videos sometime.
Yeah.
Wow. I love Psylocke, especially because she has that association with him because she was in the Uncanny X-Force team up where Kid Apocalypse came from.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's now becoming a pretty figure. Like, she was known mostly to X-Men fans, and now she's starting to become this pretty big character that's been known.
Yeah, for X-Men Apocalypse, and then I think she's on the new X-Force team as well for that new book, I believe.
I think she is, too. And I know she's on Astonishing X-Men, too, the one that was just announced. I think maybe she's on the other one, too. I don't know. They got so many now coming out, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
I'm excited, though.
Whole new lineups.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's one. It's a request for one a character that's gonna be coming out soon. It's just a fan request. You don't have to take into consideration Domino.
Sure.
What would you think about her? Yeah, I'm a big Domino fan. I've loved her since the cartoons I've seen her in, and like read books with her in it. Oh.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think if I've ever actually seen somebody do a Domino cosplay, and I must have seen one, mm-hmm. but I just, it doesn't come to mind. I wonder, you know, Domino would work well too, because a lot of the interpretations of her, she kind of looks more black and white in color, like a Domino, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that works well with the Kid Apocalypse colors. So yeah, that would be interesting. And again, she was on the original X-Force team, obviously, with mm-hmm. Cable and Deadpool and all that jazz. So yeah, not too far away from the characters that we've used so far. That's interesting. Yeah, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, it's just an idea. I mean, she's coming in Deadpool 2, but she's one right. that kind of doesn't get the acknowledgement, I think, among many other X-Men characters. I kind of don't get the acknowledgement among things that probably yeah. deserve.
She's one of those ones from that era that just had such an interesting power set, like Longshot and
yeah.
some of those other ones that are just sort of like, huh? Like a good luck mutation? I don't know what that means. Like, it's kind of hard to describe her power.
Yeah, that's the only downfall about her. That's really the only downfall, but damn.
But she's a cool character.
Oh, yeah, and she always looks badass. I like.
Totally.
Yeah, no matter totally. What. All right, man. What you just released a video, of course, but what would your next video? Do you have any like any spoilers you want to give out? Any hints towards anything like currently, or if you're not working on one right now, like you said before, you're kind of like thinking of what you can do legally because obviously, if you get sued by Disney, you'll be in a debt of $1 billion.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if we have a specific one in the works at this point. I will tell you. That one video got shot, at least half of it, okay. and then got scrapped.
Ooh.
So there is like an unreleased video out there somewhere, and it was for the Mutant Paradise track that is the parody of Gangster's Paradise. And we had this pretty fun idea to like try to recreate the actual music video for Gangster's Paradise. Now, Gangster's Paradise is that famous Coolio rap song
yeah.
that was written for the soundtrack to the film Dangerous Minds, which was a film with Michelle Pfeiffer going to a troubled school and trying to teach kids how to not be gangsters or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something wrong.
And so, right. And so the music video for Gangster's Paradise featured it had Michelle Pfeiffer in it, and it also featured clips from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes place at this school, and we thought, like, oh, wouldn't it be a cool idea if we just took footage from the X-Men movies at the school and, like, did the same kind of thing and then recreated the, like, dynamic between Coolio and Michelle Pfeiffer's character from the original video with myself and like Kitty Pryde, since at the time that we were like trying to do all this was still back in Wolverine and X-Men days of that comic,
okay.
and Kitty Pryde was one of she was like a headmistress of the school, so
yeah.
we thought it would be cool to have her in there too. So we kind of started shooting it, but just due to some time constraints and some other things, we didn't get around to finishing it, and it really wasn't quite up to the quality level that we wanted to. So
mm-hmm.
I've always been curious if we could salvage that footage and do something with it, but at this point, not looking good.
Oh.
We also almost started doing one for the Deadpool track, the Wheat Cakes and Aunt May's track
Ooh.
That is on my new album. And that's something we might revisit. I think if we can find some, I'd really like to have somebody that has like a Deadpool, you know, screen accurate cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some good ones at cons recently. Obviously, such a popular character, everybody wants to cosplay as
him. Yeah.
But if we could find a good one of that, we had some interesting kind of silly over the top ideas for a Deadpool music video. So, so those are the only things that I can think of. You know, I was actually just the other day kind of trying to give some thought to like, hey. What song would I like to do next as a music video?
Mm-hmm.
But I've also really been writing a lot of new music for my next release already. So I've been meeting with some friends who do beats and tracks and stuff like that to like kind of talk about what I might want and looking at new people to collaborate with to be featured on my next album. So
Damn.
I'm kind of focusing on that right now.
Well, that's exciting news. I mean, Mutant's Paradise, I would pay good money to see on that. I mean, not going to lie to you here. Like, hopefully maybe it'll be salvaged, but I mean, all those sound beautiful, man.
Yeah,
all of them.
I've never even seen the footage that we shot.
Oh, God.
I have no idea what it looks like, so maybe I'll ask to see some of it. We'd also shot, I've done a couple of live performances. I don't do a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do more live shows this year. I've got a few booked already coming up in the next few months, but... you know, we did do a few of them. One of them we did, there was a club down in Los Angeles that would do this cosplay night, and they paid to fly me out and put me up in style and had me perform for them during one of their club bashes. And I had a few of my friends from LA, you know, with some nice cameras, videotape that performance. And so So we've got some live footage and some unused footage from other videos and stuff like that. It would be cool if we could, like, I don't know, just put together something out of that leftover tracks and, you know, put it together. So maybe we will. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of options down the pipeline. I mean, you guys can do so much. Right? It's like you have an entire pantheon to work with, and then, like, what you want to do with the music and that is just astounding. I mean, maybe I could try to convince, pull some strings and get Phoenix Comic Con to invite you out for maybe a show. That would be awesome.
You know, you're not the first one to want that either. I think over the years I've had a couple people ask if I'm coming to the Phoenix Comic Con, and I was like, hey, I mean, I wish I could afford to come to every Comic Con, but, you know, so far it's usually just Seattle and Portland because it's easy enough for me to get to those too, so.
Well, makes sense. But, We don't want to break you money.
Like, yeah, right.
We don't want to do it. Like, everyone's hard working, and it's not like you're a billionaire, like a Professor X billionaire here. I mean, we're all got our... Yeah. Like,
maybe
I wish I was
day.
That. Huh?
Maybe one day I will be.
Oh, yeah, one day.
Could be like Stanley and just travel to different cons and shake people's hands and sign papers. That sounds like a cool job.
Oh, God, it would be. Speaking of which, hopefully the man's... Everyone send out your hopes and whatnot. I know he had a recent medical issue going on. Hopefully he does all right.
Hopefully he pulls through. That guy's getting pretty old, isn't he?
Yeah, I wish I met him. I saw him at a Comic-Con, but there was a long line, so I never got to go up and talk to him. And that's gonna if I don't get a chance to talk to him, that's going to be one of the biggest regrets I'm probably going to have.
Yeah, I agree with that. I grew up going to the San Diego Comic-Con, and back when I first started going to that con, they only used like half of the trade show. It wasn't nearly as big of a deal as it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going in the 90s, and it wasn't quite as celebrated. And so back then, like, Stan Lee might have been there, and you could totally go and talk to him, and it was, you didn't have to pay $70 or $100 or whatever to get your picture taken. But I never did it. I always just sort of was like, oh, yeah, cool, there he is, maybe I'll do it next time, but I never did. And now every time he's at a con, it's like, like you said, it's you'd have to wait an entire day in line and spend $100 to get him to sign something just so you could shake his hand. And, like,
exactly.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully everything pulls through with them. But, I mean, maybe Futurama, if you've ever seen the show, maybe they have the technology right now and his head will be in a glass tube somewhere. I mean, that would be pretty cool, I'm not going to lie.
Just that, at sitting at a table. Greetings, true believers.
Oh, my God. If it's not a thing, that has to be a thing. Somebody listening, draw this or make a video of it and send it to us, please.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. All right, man. A question for you. Now, it's a hot topic thing right now. If you read the recent IVX series?
I've only read issue 0 and issue 1.
Okay.
I haven't really gotten much further than that.
Okay, I won't spoil anything on that then for you. Fair warning, I don't know if anybody's ever told you about the ending of it with the recent issue 5 or 6, I think it is.
Nobody has?
Okay, I don't really want to spoil it because the ending was kind of like really like... Yeah,
run out and get it.
Yeah, it's a good series, man. It's really good. I mean, it's one of those that you didn't see Kid Apocalypse in it, sadly. Like, he kind of would have been pretty cool in there. They probably would have gave him weird looks to be like, aren't you Kid Apocalypse? Like, who knows? But, yeah, I just wanted to see if you read it or not, because a lot of people are getting ticked off. A lot of X-Men fans are ticked. Like, a few groups I'm in on Facebook and that, like, they're all, like, saying, like, this writer deserves to be burned. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, like, if you remember a few months ago when that Captain America writer, I can't remember his name, made him, like, Hydra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dale Hydra, that whole thing.
Yeah, it's kind of that right now in the X-Men fan world right now. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is with comic books, you know, I've been reading them long enough to realize that, like, everything gets reset eventually, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
When you take that last Secret Wars, you know, crossover, like, it looked like the world was completely over, and here we are, we've got it all reset again, and everybody's back to normal for the most part. Like, when people got mad that Thor was now a woman, it's like, yeah, but, like, you know that somewhere down the line, it's gonna go back to just being regular old Thor, you know? Like,
yeah.
They'll have bows around or something.
Yeah.
It's funny when people get all heated up about something that it's like, come on, they're not gonna ruin it forever. It'll eventually go back to the way you liked it.
Hopefully, it probably will. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I mean, nobody stays dead in comics. We know that.
No, no.
Like, truly dead.
No way.
Although Xavier is still dead, I guess that's been That was Avengers versus X-Men when Cyclops killed him, so that was a while ago.
Yeah.
He's been dead for a while.
Like,
Wolverine, proper Wolverine's been dead now for at least 2 years or more, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, 2 years, I think. Well, now we just lost, like, two, actually. I mean, Madrox, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I did see that. I did see that, Multiple Man was... Yeah. A whole island full of them were dead or something, right? From the Terrigen Mist?
Yeah, very depressing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we had...
One of those ones that you'd have to kind of be more of a broader X-Men fan to even know who that is.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Like, I'm like, did you guys see who died? And there was, like, this person. And they're like, who? I'm like, God damn it. Like, yeah. This is... And then, like, they had the recent, like, laser shooting mutant may have died.
Right. I do know that, like, yes, I do know Cyclops was killed by Black Bolt.
Yeah.
That was even before Inhumans versus X-Men, I think. That was, There was, like, that ridiculous, I don't know, the real one died a while ago, but the one that Emma was projecting or something.
Yes, that was Death of X, I think it was, or something like that.
Yep, that's right. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting concept, but then, like, in IVX, I'm just fair warning you, at the end, people are mostly ticked off at Emma and Queen Medusa.
Sure.
That is fair warning to you. I mean, Emma, like, she has her quirks, and she has her good things and bad things. I mean, not gonna lie, but
I read issue zero, I read issue one, and the thing I can't understand about it is, like, I can't really understand the argument that the Inhumans are putting forward. It's like, we use this mist to, like, make normal people into superhero people, or possibly drive them crazy. It depends on who you are.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so the pros of keeping the mist around is, like, we get to turn more people into super people.
Mm-hmm.
The cons for the mutants are all the mutants die.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not really much of an argument. Like, you don't really have a case for, like, either they all die, or we just get to keep turning people into, like, you know, super people. Like,
exactly.
It's like, why do you think that is a good reason to let all the mutants die? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's the quote in there that kind of really sums it up of, like, and it's like, you know, the Inhumans are really wrong, is when Magneto says, I will not let my people be gassed.
Sure.
That's kind of like, Okay, maybe the Inhumans are really screwed up for letting this happen.
Totally. He's been through that before, so.
Exactly. I mean, another thing I kind of want to get your opinion on, because your opinion matters. Believe it or not, your opinion on X-Men matters from Kid Apocalypse himself, you know?
Nice. Awesome.
Logan, have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah. I saw that opening night.
Ooh, what'd you think?
Mixed feelings. I think my first impression was that I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very different comic book movie.
Agreed.
You know, than most. I think a lot of people who don't necessarily like comic book movies could really like this movie, and I think that is because they made it a very self-contained story. It wasn't trying to be beholden to this entire universe. In fact, they kind of went out of their way to, like, not make this a part of the major continuity, and they've even teased or hinted that this might be in a parallel universe or alternate timeline or something. So
yeah.
They didn't have to hold themselves to, like, oh, we got to fit in this character because he's going to be in this next movie and it ties into the main storyline, which is sort of the burdensome way that Marvel's been doing this, all the Avengers stuff, which kind of becomes too much, which is why, like, somebody like Joss Whedon walked away from the Avengers franchise, because he didn't really want to do this whole giant world buildings type stories.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, one thing that occurred to me after watching it was that I felt that the violence in the film, like, not that I'm against having a violent film, I love plenty of violent films.
Oh yeah.
But it did err on the side of, like, almost indulgent. I feel like when violence is used correctly, especially with a character like Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea is that this is a guy who has anger issues, to be honest. Like,
yeah, he does.
Control himself, but you don't want to celebrate that as if that's the good thing. Like, you want to, like, you always want to balance that with, like, and I think the comics always do a really good job of that. In fact, if you remember the first issue of All New Wolverine, where there was the flashbacks of Wolverine training Laura, he talks about, like, how he you didn't kill that guy, and that's a good thing, because you can be better than me.
Yeah.
Like, you can be the one to have a little more self-control.
Yeah.
So there were times where I felt like that we were supposed to be cheering for all the violence, and that's a weird moral gray area for me. And it kind of almost reminded me of Man of Steel, where we've got this Superman who, instead of choosing to be better, which is what Superman always does, which is what makes him a Superman, he's just going crazy and punching people through buildings for half an hour.
Yeah, agreed on that one.
So there's that point, but, like, I feel like I need to give it a second watch to, like, really weigh, a little bit heavier on these ideas. But there were also just some story elements about it that I thought were, like, it seemed like they introduced something in the story that never really came to fruition. It was like, oh, I wonder why you even bothered to put that in there. But
yeah.
Some, just some minor details about it. I mean, I really don't want to be one of those people who nitpicks every single, you know, film that says, oh, it's not like the comic or whatever. Like,
yeah.
That I wasn't trying to make it beholden to something from the comics. But I guess another thing that bothered me that I've come to think of it was, you know, I know I was expecting something a little bit more like Old Man Logan, the comic. I was expecting this to be a world that's sort of torn apart already, a sort of dystopian, you know, post-apocalyptic type landscape. And it certainly seemed that way for most of the mutant characters in the movie. It really did feel like all the visual elements, you know, the lifestyle that they live, like of the ones we see, it does feel like very much like it did in that Old Man Logan comic book. But the rest of the world that they show you in the movie Logan just seems like our normal world today. And
pretty much.
It was really weird, I felt, like, where they chose to, like, pick and choose, like, this is going to be some sort of more, like, futuristic or, you know, kind of dystopian element to our world, but then the rest of it just was like, oh, girls in a limo going to prom or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, oh, everybody just is still in Vegas playing, you know, slots and stuff. So I guess maybe that's part of the point, is that, like, the world has changed dramatically for the worse for mutants, but it's gone on the same for humans. I see that that's probably what they intended by that. But at times it felt a little bit lazy to me on the, like, where we're going to make, like, because there are humans with, like, cybernetic arms and body parts and stuff like that.
We see
that in all the villains, but the rest of the world doesn't seem to have changed much from that. So that's a small gripe, but that was a gripe I had.
I agree with that. I really do. I mean, that's it. Like, we all want to see an Old Man Logan movie. We really do.
Can't have all those other Marvel characters in it.
Yeah.
Right.
But animated, man. Maybe they'll give an animated one out. Who knows? Maybe after this movie. Like, I mean, rated
R.
Oh, yeah. You can make it rated R, too, and just basically base it off the book. I mean, how many animated movies that they're making now on Marvel and DC that are based off of books?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I just watched The Killing Joke, actually, pretty recently. And,
oh.
That was an R-rated, you know, animated comic book film. So.
Yeah. That one officially is an R-rated one, considering some of the stuff the Joker does in there. We're not going to distest that one. We're not going to argue it at all. No.
Yep, quite a famous storyline.
Yeah, oh yeah. Alrighty, man. I am kind of another question. This is kind of last one. I don't want to take up too much of your time today.
Don't worry.
You do Kid Apocalypse, obviously. Who else would you like to play?
Like, as far as rap goes?
Yeah, as far as rap goes. Yeah, as far as, like, the music, I like your phenomenal music, because, man, I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Wait, we'll get more on that in a minute. But who else would you kind of like to portray in the videos and such, too? Maybe, like, maybe you won't see your face, but you'd still portray the character or something like that, or maybe it's, like, the video focuses on that character instead of Kid Apocalypse or something?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've sort of I've dipped around with some kind of other franchises. I actually, a few years back, just did, like, 3 or 4 song little mixtape as that was all Star Trek rap.
Ooh.
And that was like a character I made up called Tuspok, because really surprised that nobody had made that pun before, like Tupac and Spock, like that's so obvious, like.
Yeah.
And so I made a little mixtape called Strictly for My Trekkies, and that's on Bandcamp as well under Tuspok. And so that was a fun one, because it was a chance for me to kind of do this same platform of music creating, but with a different franchise that I also really happen to love.
That's
so
beautiful.
That,
man,
would be an example of something else I've tried. I also did one. I played Pokemon Go like everybody else did, and
yeah.
I think, like most people, I was a little disappointed by the game. It was sort of a letdown compared to what I was promised.
Yeah.
And so I had done one quick music video as this character I made up called Professor Dope. And Professor Dope was rapping about this song that I did called "Where Dem Good Pokemon's At," and so I did the whole video kind of making fun of Pokemon Go. But I don't know if I would pick another Marvel character. That's interesting. I did, if you heard the track "Return of the King" on my new album, I did that one as supposed to be a sort of a rap battle between Kid Apocalypse and Apocalypse. And we kind of went back and forth on, should we let the Apocalypse part go to, like, a featured artist and get somebody else who's got, like, a big booming voice to come in and do that part. I really wanted to do it because I love Apocalypse, like I said, so I was like, oh, it'd be cool for me. So we eventually went with my idea because I like the idea that, like, it's the same person's voice, because Kid Apocalypse is a clone, after all.
Yeah.
So we just did, like, a voice effect to try to make it sound like Apocalypse from the animated series.
I noticed that. Yeah, that was gorgeous.
We did sort of a rap battle between Apocalypse and Kid Apocalypse. Funny enough, actually, I don't know, on Twitter, I just found out a few people who worked on the X-Men animated series have a Twitter account that's like the sort of official X-Men the animated series Twitter,
uh-huh.
and they have a Tumblr as well. And I kind of reached out to them and showed them my first music video, which samples the theme song to X-Men the animated series, the one everybody knows.
Yeah.
And I was showing them that, kind of just being like, hey, you know, people always love that I sampled this on this track, just wanted to share that with you. And they were, like, totally digging my stuff. They were like, oh, now we have your lyrics stuck in our head and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Oh, just that's sweet.
Weird small connections like that.
Oh, that, you know what that means, right? That means that you may have an animated chance here. I mean, maybe you get animated somewhere down the line. That would be amazing.
You know, my dream had just always been for this. I just, since again, like Jason Aaron and Rick Remender and a few mm-hmm. other guys who worked for Marvel or did, because Remender doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah.
But a few of those people, like, you know, they know who I am. Dennis Hopeless knows who I am. And I'd always dreamed that it would just be great if they, in one panel of the comic, or they're at the school maybe or something, and they're walking through the halls and in the dorms, and maybe you see in the room behind them, there's like Evan's door to his room is open, and he's got the chain on, and he's got a microphone with his hat or whatever, and he's like practicing his rap lyrics and stuff. If that just happened in the background of a panel of a comic, I'd be done. I'd be like, all right. That's it. My life's complete.
That's like somebody frame it. Yeah, somebody cut like this. Put it in a comic frame and just hang it up on a wall for all to see. And yeah, we're good.
Totally.
I think. Oh, yeah, that's.
Because I actually know some people. This group. I directed their music video recently.
Mm-hmm.
They're a sister duo out of Portland called the Double Clicks, and they do sort of this like nerdy folk music. And I directed one of their music videos at the end of last year called Lord of the Rings was the name of the song, and. I was talking to them at the time, and I think in the Marvel comic Mockingbird, they knew the artist or something, and so they got drawn in to one of the panels as just people in the crowd or whatever.
Oh, damn.
That's just so cool, and I'm like, oh, I know that people do that, so if somebody could just make that dream happen for me, I'd be so happy.
Oh, keep pushing. All I gotta say is keep pushing for it, because like, that's a dream of mine, too. I think it's a dream of all of us at this point.
Right.
Like, this
yeah,
put
you know
us in.
You made it when you're in a comic.
Oh yeah, could you? I mean, maybe. I think if you, the way you're going right now, popularity in wise, like I could see maybe you have Kid Apocalypse drawn on a book with your like similarities to like it looks like you, but does Kid Apocalypse
yeah.
like it looks like you basically?
Know what? Like I know when we first started doing this, I mean obviously a lot of people have drawn Kid Apocalypse and they've drawn him very different.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I mean, when he first entered the comics, he kind of looked a little older, and then. The next comic came in, he looked a little younger, and some people draw him with, like, dark eyes. Some people, he originally had, like, red eyes, I think. And
yeah.
some people have given him, like, the sort of lighter color eyes, and so it kind of changes. And one time his skin was gray, and then it was white. But Jared joked with me a lot, because when Jason Aaron, I think, was first doing Wolverine the X-Men, he remarked that, like, I don't know, they kind of looked like they changed it, and it looks a little bit more like you. And I was like, that would be amazing if that were the case. Somehow I doubt it, though. But
oh, you never know.
I like to believe that, like, yeah, Jason Aaron and somebody saw it and said, hey, draw it more like Kid Apocalypse the Rapper.
Oh, could you imagine? Like, I can imagine that it does. I mean, that would just be beautiful. And to say the least, you look like Kid Apocalypse. This isn't me blowing smoke or anything like that. Honest truth, like in the videos that I've seen and whatnot, you
yeah.
could pass off and be on a TV show or something like that as Kid Apocalypse. Not going to lie to you.
Well, I'd love that, but I think my age is a little bit older than what Kid Apocalypse is supposed to be. In
yeah.
fact, I do remember recently, like, I think I was reading one of Jason Aaron's comics, one of Dennis Hopeless comics for the All-New X-Men, and it was an issue about Kid Apocalypse's birthday, and I think he was turning 16, I want to say,
oh,
it
crap.
Was that issue, and I was like, it was around my birthday, and I was like, how about that, I'm like almost exactly double the age of actual
oh,
Kid Apocalypse. So, yeah.
I don't know, you never know, I mean, makeup and special effects is a beautiful
right.
thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely short enough. Maybe I lost a few pounds and shaved my face really hard. Then I could play him.
Like, get a laser cutter. We need one laser cutter, please, for this man.
Exactly.
Damn. Exactly. Well, thank you, man, for taking the time out here. And just one last thing I want to tell you is, we talked about it off mic and that, but your videos are very inspirational, man. I'm not going to lie. And they mean a lot to fans. I posted something about you, kind of get the word about you in a couple X-Men groups I'm with on Facebook. Replies were astounding. People were going nuts over you. They're like, oh, I know that man, like, oh, he's amazing. Like, people were liking it. They were leaving a billion comments in that. Like, you mean a lot of people as Kid Apocalypse. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the following you have is huge.
Awesome. Well, that's great to hear. It always means a lot to me to get that kind of feedback.
Yeah.
You know, it's if the internet has changed the game. I was making music and doing this whole thing, playing in bands and doing shows back before the internet was like a way that you really marketed yourself. So there was a lot more direct interaction with fans when you're just playing a show and you're sitting at your merch table and people come up and you get to talk to them. And that does get to happen for me every time I do like a convention or something. But like I said, unfortunately, just because of my schedule and stuff, I don't really get to do a lot of live shows where I get to have those interactions. But, you know, there are those times where somebody will reach out to me and say something, and it really does make all the difference. And that's why I would encourage people, like, if you're a fan of anybody, I don't care how famous they are, like, yeah, like, reach out to them, you know, tell them that you like what they do. Like, it really does mean something to the people that do these things, and I can certainly speak from experience. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much for saying that.
No problem, man. That's why I wanted to reach out to you, in my honest opinion. That's why I wanted to reach out and kind of say thank you, because, like, I'll be at work, and, like, all right, I need to listen, and, like, I'll be jamming out to your music while I'm sitting there. Like, I'll admit, like, I can clean toilets for a damn living, so, like, sitting there and like at work, like you have a rough day and you want to at least do something like that gets your mind off of it and gets you inspirational, kind of gets you out of the mood and makes you happy. And your videos and your music does it. I'm not gonna lie, it really does.
Well, thank you so much for saying so.
No problem. I can't be the only one either. There's gotta be a billion people. I'm like, my sister, I introduced her to you, your music, and oh, she fell in love. She's like, really? Like, he does that? I'm like, just listen, just listen real fast. And she listened. She's like, is there more? I'm like, there's more.
And hopefully I'll be able to make more and more. You know, lots been going on with me. I'm about to finish my second degree at school, and I'm going to be looking for a job in that field. I've been doing sort of zookeeping, animal husbandry, so that's been really cool, and I've got to have some amazing experiences with that. You know, still doing a little acting here and there when I get the chance, so that's fun. Yeah. But there's going to be a little baby apocalypse soon, so that's been exciting news that my wife and I are expecting a child, and it's going to be a little boy. So I've been thinking a lot about, like, how will I introduce this to my kids eventually? How will I explain what, yes, daddy wears weird silly makeup and raps about comic books? That's like, going to be an interesting conversation.
I'd wait on that one for a little bit, but congrats. Yeah. I'm not going to, like, man. But
thank you very much.
Yeah, just, I'd wait. This is like, just to be safe, like, how do I do, like, talk to your wife, like, honey, how do we explain this to our child?
So, my wife, funny enough, when I first met her, she saw Kid Apocalypse stuff before, she, like, looked into me before we went on our first date, and so she had seen Kid Apocalypse, and the whole first date, she kept thinking, when is he gonna bring up this, because she doesn't really know anything about comics or characters, so she's like, when is he gonna bring up this thing that he does with the face paint, like, of course I didn't bring it up, because why would I?
Yeah, that's kind of like something you put to the side. I mean, even on the first date, I don't tell people I work, I'm doing a comic podcast, I leave that usually for, like, later, like, after, like, dating, but, you know Yeah, if a woman stays around through that, and she that's, you did the right thing. You married her. Like, put a ring on it.
I know. She's very supportive of what I do, even if she doesn't understand it. Yes.
It's like, I have no idea what you're doing, but I love you, and I love it.
Absolutely. That is definitely how it is.
Wow. Well, you know, little quick thing, though, man. I do work at a zoo. You said zoo. I do work at a zoo. This is actually, I'm a grounds quality member at a zoo, at the Phoenix Zoo.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
How about that?
And I'm also getting into, I'm going to school now for voice acting. I'm starting that up pretty soon. So I will but whenever I get the chance, probably give you a shout out or something like that whenever I can, and I'll put good words in for you. Don't worry.
Totally. Yeah, I've always loved doing voices, and so that's another thing that I've always thought, like, man, that would be such a fun job to have, wouldn't it? Just to be able to do voices in cartoons. I used to make my friends laugh doing an impression of Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh my god.
That was a popular one. People would be like, do it again, like, you know, because they just loved hearing it.
At least they know who it is. I tried telling people, like, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and they're like, what's that? Like, oh, damn it.
I know. It's been off the air for so long now, but, like, gosh, it was such a gem. I love that show.
It was. One of those, you wonder, like, were they on drugs or they made it, but it was still so good.
Definitely. I mean, no question about it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, like Legion, you wondering, like, the character's trippy, but man, like, what are they doing over there?
Yeah, that has been a very, very trippy, interesting show, and I'm digging it. I love everything about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, man, for taking the time and coming out. Well, not really coming out, but, like, taking the time and talking to us and whatnot. And, you know, it's been an honor to talk to you. I mean,
yeah,
it really is.
My pleasure.
Like, I feel like I'm talking to a movie star right now, or a music star.
Well, I mean, I have been in movies, but not ones you've probably ever heard of.
Yeah, true. I know the feeling. I was in a zombie photo shoot, and people are like, you were in what? I was like, yeah, I was in this magazine. What magazine? Ah, crap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely get that. I actually have a copy of a magazine from France. When I first started doing Kid Apocalypse, there's a magazine in France called Comic Box, and then just a comic book news magazine, and they interviewed me. I can't read it because it's in French, but I have the interview in the comic book, in the magazine, and it's pretty cool. It's definitely a keepsake of mine.
Yeah, like, people ask, like, what does it say? No idea, but you know what? I'm involved. That's all that matters.
I tried translating it once, and it said something about, like, he does not eat bread, but, and I was like, what? I didn't say that? Like, it must be mistranslating something.
Like, damn, Google Translate.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Some slang in French or something, like, hey, that guy, he doesn't eat bread.
Yeah, that, he doesn't eat bread. What kind of man is that? Like, he's definitely a mutant. Shit. Damn.
But yeah. Well, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. And let's do this again sometime. It's fun.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, I'd love to have you on here as a guest, and like, we can just talk about anything X-Men. Or like, we're going totally nuts into town.
Well, once all these new X-Men books come out, we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yes, and if Kid Apocalypse make an appearance, I'll probably be like, oh my god.
Tag me and all that.
I will. Oh, trust me, I will. Alright, thank you, man.
Alright, it was nice talking to you.
You have a good one, okay?
Alright, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining me on another episode of Comic Chronicle. That was Quinn Allen, guys, aka Kid Apocalypse. So thank you for joining me, and you guys have a good one, alright?